trust everyone's had a good week. Looking forward to, Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings upon us, the joy of service and fellowship. Pray that you bless our time tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified. May we glean and learn from the scriptures as we continue through the book of Proverbs tonight. And I pray that you would bless our time as we lift one another up as we share requests in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep them safe, Lord. And now, Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight as we transition and prepare to go into our time of Bible study. Pray that you would be uplifted and glorified, would be challenged and encouraged from the word, and we'll be careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're, of course, looking at the book of Proverbs tonight, and we'll be there here in just a moment. And we'll look at a couple of verses of Scripture, not just in Proverbs, but some other areas as well. We're going to shift gears tonight and go into another area. We've pretty much covered quite a bit of achievement and failure. And tonight we're going to start with addiction. And I'm going to get sidetracked for just a moment, then I'll get started. When we think of addiction today, we don't think of the things that we tie to addiction like we did for some of us in our generations. Would you agree? And I'll go over some of this again later. Before, it was the alcohol and the drugs and things of that nature. Today, it's social media. I challenge you to put down your phone for a whole day. The electronics, all those things. Can those things be a form of addiction? Well, of course they can. If it consumes your time and it robs you of doing better and good things, of course it does. Are we a slave to our phone? Are we a slave to social media? Are we a slave to our computer? Are we a slave to... And you fill in the blanks, and we'll go through several things as we go through this series on addiction. But all right, we're going to do kind of an intro tonight. I'm not sure how much time I'll take. We may be through early, we may not. But as always, I reserve to carry time over if I'm short. But we'll see how it goes tonight. But more of an intro to Proverbs on addiction. Here in the book of Proverbs, we find a number of paths that are littered with snares and traps that will leave you enticed, troubled, and bound. And it's so important that we understand the aspect and how good it is to be involved in Proverbs, but also the aspect of understanding addictions and how sometimes maybe there's something that we don't realize has become habit-forming or addictive. Too many Christians are ineffective for Christ because they are engaged in activities or in habits that have left them addicted and trapped by sin. They struggle to be servants of Christ because they are servants to another master. They have become servants of sin and servants of corruption. Peter and Paul spoke about being servants of sin and the problems that bondage brings. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Peter says that false teachers are servants of corruption and overcome because of the bondage that they are snared in. See, friends, we are slaves to what controls us. So whether it be control or consume of our time, our mind, our thoughts, our speech, we are slaves to what controls us. And this is a reference to the ancient custom of selling slaves that had been conquered or captivated in war. The ancient law was that a man might either kill who he overcame in battle or he might keep them for a slave. They were called servi or slaves from the Greek verb servare, if I'm saying that right, which means to keep or preserve. Peter is saying that the person who is overcome by his lust is presented as a slave of his lust. In other words, he is in bondage to it. Many today believe that freedom means doing anything that they want, but no one is ever completely free in that sense. If we refuse to follow God, we will follow our own sinful desires and become enslaved to what our bodies want. Again, you go through the aspect of the chemical addiction, and I was talking to someone before the service tonight, having family members, you know, they get the shakes from the alcohol and other addictions, they get that draw or that craving, and because we are not following the Lord, we become a sin or slaves to those desires. But if we submit our lives to Christ, he will free us from the slavery of sin. Some people are get saved, they make a decision for Christ, and they go on their merry way, and they're fine. Others struggle. My Uncle Lester, for some reason, went to church. He was in his 80s, late 70s, got saved and went home and poured out every bottle that had, if it had alcohol on the label, he poured it out. Back in those days, that was even his Listerine. He poured it all out. He said, I'll never have another drop. And he didn't until the day he died. But I know of others that struggled for days and weeks and months and got help before they finally kicked the habit. But the whole aspect comes down to is remember that Christ frees us to serve him. The blessing of freedom results in our ultimate good. Think about that for a moment. Christ frees us to serve him, and the blessing of freedom results in our ultimate good. So yes, it is good to serve God. So again, it gets back to the aspect of the question, who are we serving? Who has us in bondage? Who has us, or do we have it? Look at the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. See, Paul says, once you gave yourself to sin as its slave, righteousness had no claim over you. But now that you have given yourself to God as a slave of righteousness, sin has no claim over you. So are we yielding ourselves to Christ? Are we encouraging others that have that problem? So often people are so quick to, well, yeah, you need to go to an AA meeting. Well, no, you need to open your Bible. You need to have a mentor. You need to have someone that will ask you the questions, give you accountability. You need to seek God's help to help you through the problems that you're going through. So to understand this, we must understand the status of a slave, if you think about it. When we think of a servant, we probably think of a man who gives a certain agreed part of his time to his master, who received a certain agreed wage for doing what they do, you know, punching the clock. So within that agreed time, he is at the disposal and in the command of his master. When that time is completed, he is free to do as he likes. But during his working hours, he belongs to his master. But in his free time, he belongs to himself. And dear friends, I think too often our free time is spent to self. So let me challenge you before we move on. How much of our free time are we giving to the Lord? For those that are retired, how are you feeling that voided time? Where are your activities? Are you still giving time to the Lord and making sure you're getting what you need? Because we should try to do all we can to be committed to be a slave to Christ or to be unto righteousness and unto holiness and not those things that could pull us away. In Paul's day, a slave had zero time that belonged to him because every single moment belonged to his master. The Lord doesn't ask for our every waking hour. We know that he asks for a tithe or a 10% of our income to give. Is it unreasonable to say that we should be willing to try to at least give a tenth or some type of percentage of our time unto the Lord and to service unto him? Time in prayer, time in the word, time in service, time in witnessing, and time in serving him. A slave, again, was his master's exclusive possession. And those that are caught up in addiction, whether it be drugs and alcohol or social media, they are caught up in that same area. They are a slave and they are exclusive possession. Here's what's funny. I may hold this thing in my hand, but for some people, it's actually holding its hand. It's got a hold of you. I talked to someone recently that had a problem with that and with Facebook and TikTok and all the things that come with it. And I said, well, if it's not an addiction, how long could you go without it? If you're not enslaved to it, can you turn it off? And if you can, for how long? How long can you turn it off? How long can you put it down? How long can you do without it? How much do you know that you're in? Please don't misunderstand. It also could be used for a tool. but I'm referring to other areas and how things enslave us or even our computer. Here we see a picture that is in Paul's mind, referring back into Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, where Paul is basically saying, in reference to slavery and righteousness and holiness, he says, Paul's saying, at one time you were the slave of sin. Sin had exclusive possession of you. At that time you could not talk of anything else but sinning. But now you have taken God as your master, and he has exclusive possession of you. Now you cannot even talk about sinning. You must talk about nothing but holiness. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in that position? That's all we talked about is holiness. Basically, that's what Paul is saying. And John says in chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." We see that aspect of that habitual, continual sin. So once again, what has us? What consumes our time? What takes up much of our free time? Yes, we have to work if we're still punching the clock. We have to make a living. We have to provide for our family. We have to do the things we need to do. But that free time, how is it being used to better equip you, gentlemen, as a servant of Christ, ladies, as a servant of the Lord? How are we using the free time? It gets harder and harder. I remember when the kids were at home, we had four children. Spreading that time out is spending time with them, spending time with my wife, working early in the career, punching the clock with the military. And by the way, I didn't punch a clock. It was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I did get away once in a while. But then even later, working for Johnson & Johnson, punching a clock and going to school, but setting that sacred time away for family and for the Lord. If we're not careful, we find that an addiction or something that consumes us robs us of things that we could spend more time in doing. Beloved, addiction or being in bondage to sinful habits are the result of choices that we make in life. See, secular society rejects the Bible and labels the addictions of our day as diseases, taking the responsibility for the person's behavior away from him and placing it on something else. Now, something just came to me, and I thought about it, so I'm just going to say it. I've never been to an AA meeting. I've never been to a meeting with those that have problems with addiction. But I have received letters from those who were attending AA meetings that were going through some process. And some of you may know, you can help me out because I just don't know. But part of the process was writing or reaching out to people, asking them to forgive you or those that they have offended or those that had warned them about their addiction and to write to them. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Amends, yes. You know, I had one of those letters. I remember sitting down at a living room at a family. I remember what we ate. We ate chili dogs because he was a West Point grad. He did work with our youth and his wife until I found out they drank socially. Then that night it was over, and that was a whole nother stir. But we sat down and had a meal. He wanted me to try this chili that was from Kentucky. We had our meal. The meal went on. Some other things come up, alcohol, social drinking. And then the aspect was, well, what, we only drink socially. And I said, well, what does that mean, socially? Does that mean every time you sit down with someone? Like tonight? Oh, no. And we had another, we went on a little bit more of the conversation. And I warned them, if you start now and you allow the military to dictate when you should pick up a glass, when you should say your cheers or take a drip, you will be an alcoholic before it's over. Oh, no, that'll never happen. Fast forward, after we had a mini church split because I pulled them from the youth because I found out they were social drinkers, I get a letter 6 years later from the wife asking me to forgive them because she's an alcoholic. Here's my problem with how AA does it. She wrote a letter asking for amends, and when I responded to her letter to try to be a blessing and encouragement and try to call, there was never an answer. To me, that came across as, I checked the box, I have to write the letter of amends. But there was no follow-up. There was no encouragement. There was nothing else that went with it. I have no idea where they are today. I'm assuming he's still in the military. He went to West Point. Most people who go to West Point usually stay in for the whole 20 years. But it bothered me as a Christian young lady and a young man, he couldn't bring himself to write the letter, but she did. She signed her name. And by the way, she did it by email, not through mail. So I responded, thanked her for the letter, and asked about an opportunity to call and talk by phone, said a few other things in my letter, and then I got ghosted from there. So just a check of the box. Folks, we take the same approach with our spiritual life of just checking a box when we read our Bible, checking a box when we read our prayers. We have no follow-up. We're just going to fall into the same trap of addictions and sin and things that so easily beset us. Again, addictions have been blamed on chemicals in the body or upon genetics. The sinner's oldest sinful behavior is a result of his genes. It is no surprise that folks that struggle with addictions and believe these lies continue to struggle with their addictions. Again, addictions of being in bondage to sinful habits are the results of choices that we make in life. If you are enslaved to a sin, you're enslaved to a habit, you're in your predicament because of choices that you make or choices that you continue to make. Paul alluded to addictions in 1 Corinthians as being a choice that we make. Paul made it clear that we are to have control over our life and not be addicted to anything. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul was free to do anything, but he would not be controlled or mastered by anything but the Lord. The great truth of the Christian faith is not that it makes a man free to sin, but it makes a man free not to sin. See, it's so easy to allow the habits to master us, but the strength we receive from the Holy Spirit enables us to master them. When a man really experiences Christian power, he becomes the master of his body and not the slave to it. We'll go into more depth as we go in the coming weeks in reference to addiction. Again, this is just a bit of an introduction. But I think we need to realize and understand that addiction is not just the drugs and the alcohol, the tobacco, but it is also of our day that we live in today, the phones, the computers, the social media, and other things that pull us and rob us of our time. A person may say, I will do what I like, but what he really means that I will indulge the habit or lust which has him or her in its grip. 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 9 and verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in the sanctification and honor. Again, the aspect of your vessel in sanctification and honor. When we lose control of our life or our lifestyle, when our character becomes weakened, when we reject God's leading in his word, we open our life up to addictions and destructive habits, whether it be the alcohol, tobacco, prescription drugs, illegal drugs, pornography, gambling, social media, and the list goes on and on and on. When we become addicted to something, it tends to numb us to its destructiveness. And we conclude that what we are doing is not so bad after all. See, our addiction also creates a thirst for more because of the emptiness or the dissatisfaction we are feeling for what we have already done. This emptiness leads to a deeper bondage and a deeper addiction. Many hardened criminals and serial killers in prison and some still on the loose experience this type of emptiness. Read an article by Mr. James Dobson. Just before he was executed in Florida, serial killer Ted Bundy made a last gasp grab for respectability as a crime expert. Now, he was an expert at committing crimes, but you know what I'm saying. He was asked by the religious leader, broadcaster, Mr. Dobson, what made him turn violent. Bundy put the blame on graphic pornography. Like an addiction, you keep craving something that is hardened until you reach a point where you begin to wonder if maybe actually doing it would give you that which is beyond just reading about it. And that's what he claims led him down that road. Bundy's emptiness led to further addiction in his life. And by the way, emptiness, being empty, being alone, feeling empty, not only leads to addiction, but also leads to depression, anxiety, and eventually possibly to addiction. The book of Proverbs lists many snares that lead to bondage, entrapment, and addictions. See, even those thousands of years ago, the Lord even knew that even today, whatever it may be, addiction was real and prevalent in every society. We will look at each one of these points and endeavor to glean the truths that are presented in each verse here in the book of Proverbs. Some of the snares describe physical entrapment, and others describe circumstantial entrapment. And I don't want to get into a lot of details tonight, but sometimes circumstances lead to an entrapment that leads to someone, in even some cases, someone being violated, that leads to them becoming violators themselves. And it's so important that we understand and look to Scripture for help. So let's see what Solomon has to say and learn from this wisdom next week. So we'll stop there. It's already 7:32. And we'll stop there and continue on a little more next week. I'm asking that you pray for me as we go through this. Some of this is very real to me, very much alive. I talked to a gentleman today about this. I come from a family of alcoholics. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My father was on his way to alcoholism. Several of my uncles are alcoholics, and many of them are in the grave today because of alcohol. I'm grateful for a mother, and I would my dad will never hear this, so I'll say it. My mom just made a decision. Dad came home one day, and every bit of alcohol that was in the house was in the yard, and the doors were locked. And mom met him outside when he pulled in from work. She said, "You've got two choices, and one's the good one. You pick up your alcohol, you put it in your truck, and you leave, or you put your alcohol in your truck, you go down to the dump, and come home and come inside. Those are your two options." Dad never picked up another bottle, another can, never went to another ball. That was the end. Not everyone makes that choice. Not everyone has that battle that easily. My dad had 9 brothers and 6 sisters. More than half of his brothers were alcoholics. Many of them died alcoholics, sent to the grave early. It's very, very high tense for me because I saw it. A young man should not have to go down and pick up his uncles because they're drunk. Should not have to bail them out of jail because they've been drinking. I saw it at a young age. I saw what it could do to you, and it helped me to stay away from it. Because see, you never become an alcoholic. You never become a drug addict. You never get addicted to pornography. You never get addicted to illegal drugs if you don't take the first taste. That's the best. Abstinence is the best. Even today, we have those that are addicted to sex. It's unbelievable of the wicked world that we live in, but the book of Proverbs is here to help, to encourage, and to remind us. But again, it comes down to this, as the Bible is very clear, we choose our sin, but we can't choose our consequences. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessing and joy of service and fellowship. We thank you for the word that still rings true today as much as it was those thousands of years ago. Father, help us as we strive to be informed and to be encouraged and to pray for others, to be on the guard and to look out to recognize things. And Lord, help us when we need to ask the hard questions of friends and family and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that we know that are struggling. Now, Father, bless us tonight as we dismiss us with your love, bless our fellowship, bless the rest of our work week, and may you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, the Lord loves you, the preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.